Thank you for joining a new podcast series from ILTA Radio entitled Work From Home. This series takes a look at many different facets of the organizational, technical, and human sides of the remote work experience. Join us as we find new, interesting, and innovative ways to keep productivity and morale up.
Welcome back to another edition of the Work From Home and Working Remotely podcast. We're doing these podcasts in the advancement of getting everyone on the ILTASphere to understand how to work best with all of these COVID messages and announcements coming in and out of their workforces. Today, I'm joined by four ILTANs who have a long and varied volunteer career here. We have Cindy McBean, she's the PPC liaison, Angela Dowd, she sits on our ILTA board, Joy Heath-Rush, our CEO, and Dawn Hudgens, VP of Events and Branding. My name is Beth Ann Stubbe, and I'm the Director of Publications and Press. I'm sitting down with these women really today to talk through some tips, tricks, and advice for working from home, as we know that this is a really difficult period of time for everyone who's had to adapt quickly. And on the firm side, we know that you may need some help making your employees feel more comfortable. So join us with us for a few minutes as we talk tips and tricks. I'd like to introduce first Cindy McBean and talk to her about really, how do you enjoy working remotely?
Hi, Beth Ann. Well, I had a job and I worked remotely for 4 years, and I am a kind of person that prefers an office setting because I can get up and leave my house and actually go somewhere and do work and then go home at the end of the day. To me, it's a means to an end. I don't really care for it, but I'm certainly able to do it, and I do have the setup. As litigation support manager, I can work 24/7, so I'm set up with everything I need to have a VPN. I'm also can remote into the network in our main office. So I'm set up better than most to actually accomplish work when I'm not physically there.
Do you find that you work as quickly in your home office or not?
I think overall, yes. I think I tend to get up and walk around, which is never a bad thing. So I do tend to kind of sit up and, you know, get up and, you know, walk around, come back to it, you know, let the dog out, let the dog in. So that does kind of make me a little bit more productive. And I did hear a statistic that people who work from home are more productive than those who work in an office, but they get promoted less because they're less visible to those that would promote them, which I totally believe. So, you know, you do maintain your productivity. However, if you never leave the office, you're never leaving the office. So you have to be careful that you're not almost too productive.
I think that's got to be vitally true for anybody who's working from home. Angela, how are you coping with distractions?
You know, it's difficult. I think that, you know, in my household, I have a very lovable and attention-hungry black lab and a 10-year-old who is attempting to work on learning from home at this point. I think that it's really about, you know, sort of setting a schedule, but also being flexible with that. So, you know, knowing what my schedule is to some degree early in the day and being able to say to him, okay, buddy, at this point in time, you know, I'm going to be, for example, doing a podcast and I won't be able to help you. So you're going to need to sort of work around your issues and then I can come back and take a break at another time and help you out. But to Cindy's point, I think that, you know, I'm definitely more productive, but I definitely miss that collaboration of seeing people face to face. My firm was very much a you work in the office kind of a firm. It is. And we're making that jump to being remote, but I think those little side conversations, being able to pop into somebody's office, having them stop you in the hall, those are definitely things that I'm missing.
Joy, as CEO of ILTA and having most remote employees, you know, kind of really, we're all over the country. Do you find that this has affected your managerial style? Not specifically in relation to COVID, but certainly on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, I think you recruit differently. One of the biggest challenges when you have a mostly remote workforce is bringing in entry-level people. Entry-level people need to have that kind of inculcation, indoctrination, if you will, to the organization's culture. They need to feel free to ask questions. And it's really hard, I think, to learn in isolation all the time. When you're starting someplace for the first time and you don't have relationships. So it absolutely affects recruiting and onboarding. I think those are probably the biggest considerations you have when you're thinking about a mostly remote workforce. I have a friend who's the CEO at a law firm, and all the IT staff work remotely is their standard. And this person had one employee come and say, look, I really am not suited to work remotely. Can I come into the office? I like it better. I work better that way. So it's understanding that people also have skills and around working remotely, and figuring out how to tease those out when you're interviewing folks, and then how to help people adjust when they are accustomed to being in person in the office and learning how to work in a mostly remote workforce.
Dawn, working with Joy and working with me, how do you find that things are changing on a day-to-day basis? Do you think that there are these ground rules that you had thought would be in place that have evolved?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Yeah, I think so. So I've worked remotely for a while and have had virtual teams since the early 2000s. And so this is second nature to me, but every organization is different. So ground rules are extremely important. Knowing how you're going to use your messaging system, what it means that you all share or have a shared way of communicating, but on how you use it too. So you have to be kind of careful with that. What do not disturb means to one person may not mean the same thing for someone else. And that's extremely important. So the ground rules are important. Being flexible is extremely important too, especially right now, because we are in a situation that we truly have never been in before. And so you have people that normally have their kids at daycare, and their daycare's now no longer having children come there, and they're in the home and they can be young. And so you have to be flexible with your staff and just create some expectations, and you change things based on what is best for them, so that they don't feel stressed out when they're trying to do their work and trying to take care of the people that's in their household. And that has been something that has actually changed in our work environment, because normally the kids aren't there in our work environment. But at ILTA, we have had that happen recently, where the kids are coming home to to do their schooling now. The schools have closed, and the daycares are the same thing. So our workforce went from the age of our workforce to now we have a whole additional group of people that are tagging along that are anywhere from a couple of months to, 15, 16 years old.
It's a shame that we don't have anything to collate. They could totally just be putting that together for us at this point. For Angela and Cindy, how do you think your firms have reacted to this work from home change since the COVID announcements? Do you think it has been an easy transition for them, or do you think that some of the security issues that we've heard that have come up about, work from home, laptop security, kind of cloud-based communications have really made a lasting impact?
Well, this is Cindy. I can go. My firm has handled it really, really well. And there was one major impact to that is that we're just doing a laptop refresh. So we happen to have a few hundred spare laptops sitting around that could be deployed to admins, could be deployed to those who don't normally have computers. And so whether or not you had a computer at home wasn't the question, but you got a law firm secure computer to use. And we have been trained in, we use Jabber as our communication tool. And so they did a lot of handouts. They did a 50-page book on how exactly to connect and what to do, and handed out headsets, which I'm speaking on now and is working great. And overall, from both a security and an ease of use standpoint, it's been fabulous. And we had a department meeting today for the litigation department with 60-some people on a call to kind of go over things. And they were really adamant about, pick up the phone just because you're going to pop in somebody's office, pick up the phone and talk to them. We don't have to have formal email communications, be casual. So they've handled it really well, and they deployed like 120 laptops within a week last week. So they did an amazing job.
What about your firm, Angela?
So my firm, we were a, or will be until tomorrow, a very sort of office centric firm. We don't have a lot of laptops. Everyone sort of has desktop machines. My firm has always had a great work-life balance, and this idea that, you came into the office, you worked, you went home. And some of us, obviously in technology would work after hours, would support things of that nature. But generally speaking, we're very much a sort of business hourly firm. So this has been a bit of an upheaval for us. We did not have a large pool of laptops to give out. Most people sort of had their own machines at home. For those who didn't, we had, sort of loaner laptops that we could give them. We have Citrix Connections, which we are allowing people to jump in, people of all levels, so not just the attorneys, the timekeepers, but also professional staff, legal assistants, et cetera. And we've sort of made it work that way. And some of the conversations have really been also about reminding people about best practices as well. To say, hey, even if it is your laptop and, you know, it's not firm issued, we don't have everything on it, please remember, these are things that you should not put on your local laptop. This is why we have Citrix. This is why we have these connections. And this is the way that you should go about it, because ultimately our goal is to protect our and serve our clients and their information. And that's really been very well received. People have been very flexible about understanding that, you know, we're trying to spin this up as fast as we can. And so we're going to be helping everybody in due course. And people have really been great about that. And to Don's point about the communication, you know, we do not right now have anything like Slack or Teams in place. And so we're sort of making do with what we have. But at the same time, one of the things we've really tried to do is not to overcomplicate things. We had some people request different things, and not to say that we don't want to do them, but sort of the, let's get people up and running first so that we can serve our clients. And right now we can communicate via email, or in my department's case, we literally have a group text, which is probably filled with too many memes that shouldn't be shared. But at the same time, we've been really trying to be flexible with the tools that we have right now and not overcomplicate things.
I think it's a really important point that we bridge the conversation here to talk about a little bit of work-life balance. Because as we're all kind of shut in our homes for the next several weeks, we don't want to become those shut-ins and just tied to our computers. We want to make sure that we're spending time with the dog or a loved one or whomever else. What tips and tricks can you guys pass on about that work-life balance and about being able to really step away? We're with you and we want to have these conversations. Joy?
Well, I can tell you, I think one of the most important things, whether you're working from home temporarily or for a longer period of time, I actually had the H1N1 flu when the H1N1 flu was going around. And I was stuck at home for about 3 weeks when being in the office was normal at that time for me. And so I didn't have that kind of designated place, but I created it, right? I staked out an area of my home, which was in essence my office, and not sitting in bed or sitting in a chair in the living room. And now that I work from home all the time, I have an area with a door. It has a sliding door. I'm lucky, I even have my own bathroom back in the area where I am. And this is my office. And I go to it in the morning and I leave it at night. And I think that that physical kind of staking out an area that becomes where you work is so critical to the work-life balance. And fortunately for me, I also have a spouse who, when my spouse brings me my dinner at 6 p.m. into my office, I know that I don't need to be eating my dinner at 6 p.m. in my office and I come out. But it's establishing regular office hours for yourself. It's hard. It's a hard adjustment, especially growing up, as I did in a law firm in IT, where you were kind of 7x24 available to the partners. It's, if you're at home all the time, you know you have a workplace and a not workplace part of your house. I also find actually that changing clothes helps. I know that sounds really weird, but if you have your morning clothes, if you go for a walk or go to the gym and you have your sweats or whatever, and then you put on your working clothes, and then when you get off work, you get back into your comfy clothes or evening clothes or whatever it is, it also makes a difference. It's the psychology of going to the office, bringing that idea home.
Don, what are your tips and tricks for working from home, your best practices?
Well, I think I'll tag off of what Joy just said just now. That's really important. But I think the video adds a little extra pressure to you there. You get up, you get ready. That's important. So when I get up, I do get ready. I get dressed. I put makeup on because I'm going to be sitting in front of a video most of the day. I do think when it comes to work-life balance, it is really hard. Through the years, I've seen a lot of different reports on working from home, and you kind of have two different camps. You have one where people have a hard time adjusting to being at home. And then you have the other camp where they have a hard time signing off and separating life from work. And if you work with me, you know I have a problem with it, but I do attempt to work on it. But even like on my team, we have little things, you know, from time to time, I'll have a team member say, what else can I do for you today? And my answer will be, you know, how about signing off and going out to dinner or go get a cup of coffee or have a glass of wine or whatever it happens to be, letting them know that they really need to leave and get away from the desk. That's tough. That's a tough thing. There's other stuff though, you know, I think when you work remotely, it gives you an opportunity to manage a little differently and get to know people on your team in a whole different way. And within my team, we do Monday morning coffee breaks where we just meet for 30 minutes. Everybody gets on the call. Typically, we don't do video that early because it is first thing in the morning. But we chat about our weekend. We chat about what's going on in our lives. And the first rule is you do not talk about work. It is if you are, you know, in the office and you're at the water cooler, that type of experience. And then this week, we're going to try a social. I know that sounds kind of odd, but we're looking at doing a social later this week where we're going to get together as a team and, you know, we're playing Pictionary together. And I know that sounds odd doing that virtually, but, you know, with the technology that we have, it's a great opportunity to laugh. And laughter is key when you're trying to build those relationships within your team. So I think there's a lot of best practice reminders that we can take a look at that people can pick up and use. There's certainly a lot of stuff out there right now. But I think the biggest thing is just setting expectations. Everyone has a different work at home situation. And as a manager, we should talk to our people, check in with them, make sure that they're staying engaged, making sure that their needs are being met, because it's a different scenario for each one of us.
Yeah, I'd like to add one thing if I can, because something else that I've learned that's very helpful is I do use the technology available to me, like rules, in my email system to alert me when messages come in from particular people. So for example, in the Ulta organization, our volunteer leaders, this is not their day job. And a lot of times they're doing their Ulta things in the evening or on weekends. And so for some of our senior leaders, I have alerts set up so that if one of them reaches out to me and I'm online at the point, I make sure to answer them so that they know that I'm aware of their schedule and what they're giving and providing to the organization and available at their convenience. But that wouldn't be true of necessarily everyone. So it's also understanding who your core constituents are and trying as much as possible to limit your out-of-hours availability when you're working at home to the people who really need you. I mean, this used to be true too when I had a global organization with a 24/7 staff in the office. When my person in Hong Kong was calling me at midnight, it wasn't midnight for him. I made sure that I answered when he called because he knew it was midnight for me. It was his hours. So that kind of thing can also help creating boundaries for yourself and understanding your constituencies when you're working from home.
Those are all incredibly important. Cindy, from your work from home perspective, what's your best practice other than taking your amazing dog out?
I actually work at home like I work in the office. At the end of the day, I actually shut my computer down. I walk away. Normally, I have my phone with me and people know that if they, you know, I check emails before I go to bed and they know if they need me to call me. At this firm, we are fairly local. We just have a Chicago office is the furthest away. So I am within one time zone. Before, I would have offices stretched across the country, so it's a little bit different. But, you know, I really don't check my computer once I leave work. I leave work and I switch to my phone. And, you know, if I ever need to come back and turn it on, just like I would, you know, get my laptop out of my bag at night, I do that. But I'm really, really have to be good about setting those boundaries because otherwise you feel like you never leave the office and you never leave work.
Angela, do you feel like as you've switched to being home, you're still at work or do you feel like you're stuck in a little bit in the middle? And what are your best practices?
So I think right now it's a little bit in the middle only because, you know, we're still in that ramp up period. So people do need more support in those traditional after hours. But for me, you know, there's a certain point in the day when, you know, I need to focus on, you know, getting my sunset for the evening, all things like that. And I will, you know, actually go in and make sure that my phone isn't being forwarded to my cell phone, you know, sort of take myself offline for a period, get him set up. And sometimes I'll come back and, you know, check to see if, you know, anything's on fire, but really sort of making that segregation, if you will, so that there is work time and then there is time when you've stopped and you're doing something else. And again, understanding that different things are going on, just that when, just as if there's a project, you may have to sort of focus on different things at different hours, but really sort of making that sort of break. But at the same time, understanding that you need to be flexible. You know, there's going to be on Friday, I need to take some time off to go to my son's school to pick up some packets for remote learning. And I know that, okay, I'm going to need to sort of, you know, use a little time here to, you know, give a little more time there and just sort of be flexible. There are times when I think that I'm going to be that person. If you all remember a few years ago, there was somebody doing an interview and then their kids sort of crawled in on the video conference. I have this feeling that that will be me, is that my dog will be in the background. You'll see a 10-year-old, you know, with long hair just come zipping behind me and just understanding that that's just going to be how it is and being flexible.
Well, thank you, ladies, for joining me today as we talk through our best practices and tips and tricks from working remotely. And I'd like to give a shout out to all the pets that did not make an appearance on this podcast. We're grateful that we have you, but we're glad we didn't hear from you. So thank you all for joining me today on another Working Remotely.